At the last session, we were pondering on the advice of Tobit to his son Tobias. Watch yourself, my son, in everything you do, and be disciplined or refined in all your conduct. We saw that St. Paul writes something very similar to his spiritual son Timothy. Become an example to the faithful in your words, in your love, in your conduct. And St. Peter repeats the same concept in the beginning of his first epistle. Become holy, become beautiful in all your conduct. As we can plainly see, the Old Testament is in agreement with the New Testament. And the words spoken in those days, thousands of years ago, are always very valid and life-changing at all times. It will be such a beautiful thing to have our young people today reject the love of money and of glory and of pleasures, but to love wisdom like Solomon, to love discipline and godly wisdom, to become refined and complete personalities. The rest will follow. And if it doesn't, it matters very little anyway. Money and popularity will follow. But then we will have a person of discipline in all his dealings who will know how to utilize his wealth and his status. Solomon asked for wisdom, and everything else was given to him, wealth and glory. This should be the goal for all our young people, to excel in education, which is not just schooling, but discipline, refinement. Refinement in the broad sense. We must stress that education is not limited to a degree or a diploma. This is a small part of it. We may have all sorts of intellectuals who excelled in every curriculum, but they ignored their personality. They may be arrogant or impolite or unsociable or boring. We are interested in having a completely developed human being with a beautiful soul, a well-rounded individual. This is the purpose of our studies, to bring the light of the scriptures to help us to bring to life the full potential of the human being was created by God. In ancient Greece, the philosopher Diogenes used to walk around the street of Athens with a lit lantern during the day. When asked what was his purpose, he replied, "I am looking for a man." He was looking for a man with a capital M. Diogenes most likely did not find his man because this man can only be the result of God's wisdom. All other education of human wisdom will not suffice without the true light of the Holy Scriptures. And last week, we discussed one aspect of the cultured men, the aspect of politeness and courtesy. Today, people will spend time and money to attend courses in public relations, etiquette classes, and Toastmasters to improve communication skills. Some of these may be helpful, but they will never reach the public relations and the social graces of the Desert Fathers. This is hard to imagine because it would seem that people that lived in caves or mountains or the open wilderness, they would become harsh and wild and highly unsociable. On the contrary, the desert was transformed to an endless social hall, full of love, peace, understanding, and sharing. full of politeness, a perfect community, a true community of God. Let's listen to some samples of this nobility and deep politeness spring from the soul, the pure soul of Saint Ephrem the Syrian. Let's pay attention to some lessons of the desert on public and human relations. Keep your tongue clean, and you will not face dishonor. Strive to be first to greet everyone, and you will be honored more than those who offer precious gold. Do not become disgusted from the stench of the sick or the poor, because you also have a body. You can be in their position very easily. When you meet someone, force yourself to honor him more than he deserves. Be equally nice when he walks away. Say only good things about him. Say only good things, positive things, and by this way you will help make him better. He will learn about these things that you said, and he will try harder to become a better person. This should be your style always, and honor everyone. Who says that Christians are negative people and pessimistic? People mention these things because maybe they have not come across true Christians. Christians are beautiful human beings. Let's continue with Saint Ephrem. Do not interrupt the person who is speaking to you so you can offer your opinion, because this shows your lack of knowledge and lack of training. You are being rude. Do not take your clothes off in front of others. Avoid extreme familiarity and be afraid of it, much like death. To become buddy-buddy with someone very quickly, with a person, any person, that you hardly even know. Familiarity breeds contempt. Do not spit in front of others. When you need to cough, turn your head away from the other person. Saint Isaac the Syrian says these things. Eat and drink with self-control in a way that's fitting for children of God. From the 31st chapter of Wisdom of Sirach, verses 12 and 22, we get all kinds of advice. If you are invited to a banquet, to a rich table, do not eat like a cow. You will be hated. Stop eating first. Do not keep eating. Do not reach your hand before the others. Wait, be patient. Isaac the Syrian says, when you enter the house of the man who offers you hospitality, do not turn your eyes in every direction, inspecting all his belongings, all his objects. There's some women that by the time the host brings a drink or a cup of coffee, they have inspected and taken mental notes of the entire room. The make of the furniture, the piano, the crystals, and so on. Do not enter a house or a room without knocking first. And knock gently first. Don't scare the people inside by banging on a door. Knock gently, and if there's no response, knock a bit harder. Enter when you're asked with much piety. Saint Isaac is speaking to monks here. Close your door or your neighbor's door carefully and peacefully. Don't slam the door. Be peaceful in your conversations with everyone. Watch the other people with self-control, and do not feast your eyes from the appearance or on the looks of another person. We must be very careful here, especially in our days when people will foolishly say that you can look but don't touch. this works about as well as you can date, but be careful. No, the fathers understood the reality of the fallen nature of men. They were realists. They had great self-knowledge and humility. Listen to this. Serve everyone of your physical needs with piety. This is bathroom talk here, going to the bathroom. So handle your bodily and biological functions with respect and reverence because of your guardian angel. Be careful when you enter the bathroom because your guardian angel is watching you. You mean there's theology even in the area of the bathroom? Do not be surprised. Let's listen to the scriptures. Deuteronomy 23rd, chapter 12. You shall have a place outside the camp, and you shall go out to it. And you shall have a stick with your weapons, and when you sit down outside, you shall dig a hole with it, and turn back and cover up your excrement. You will cover your waist. If you ask, why did God create the animals? To help us, to keep us company, to entertain us, and to teach us positively and negatively. The cat will teach us how to keep our place clean. The cat is extremely clean. It will dig a small hole, if out on a farm, that is, and it will cover up its waste. Today, the litter box serves the same purpose. The cat will cover its waste to eliminate the odor. God made everything with wisdom to teach us. Even the animals can be our great teachers. Saint Basil tells us this. And we continue in Deuteronomy, chapter 14. Because the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp, therefore your camp must be holy, that he may not see anything indecent among you and turn away from you. We see here how the Word of God provides us with theology for every one of our actions. Man is based on theological existence. This is not an exaggeration. The Bible does not record anything frivolous. The church fathers teach the same thing. Saint Isaac the Syrian says, be careful because your guardian angel is watching you even when you are in your bathroom. God can turn his face away from us when we are disobedient, when we ignore these seemingly petty things. These are not petty matters because St. Isaac the Syrian will tell us, be very careful about these small matters so you don't fall victim to the big ones. If you watch the petty things, you will avoid the big falls. Consider yourself a stranger wherever you are to protect yourself from the danger of over-familiarity. In other words, treat your teachers, your friends with respect. Behave the same way you did the first day that you met them. Talk to everyone with the same politeness you had when you first met these people. This is so important. It will eliminate a great deal of misunderstanding and arguments among friends and relatives. We take people for granted, especially those closest to us. We become nasty and rude because we are close to a person and we think that it's okay to abuse them. So we see that the culture man is a calm person, a gentle person, a person of the day, as the ancient Greeks used to say, imeromenos anthropos, literally meaning a man of the day, and not a wild beast that roams around at night. The word civilized that we use today means a man of the city. And the irony today is of course that our cities have anything but civilization. They are running wild again. Our cities have turned into jungles. As we stated previously, the spectrum of the culture person is very broad. So far, we discussed the aspect of courtesy or politeness, reminding our audience once again that we do not exhaust these subjects by any means. Another aspect of this culture men, the men of refinement, is the area of social discipline, which will help us to have an accurate perception of our surroundings. If you live on a high-rise apartment building, you must have the feeling that you are sharing this building with 30, 40, or 50 other families. If you return home at 3 a.m., you are not going to be slamming doors or blast your stereo system or start playing your electric guitar. You are not alone. Everyone else is sleeping. This is what we mean by social perception. To be socially conscious and to establish this, I must have some sort of social discipline. This is precisely why St. Paul points out in the book of Romans, chapter 12, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. In other words, we are in tune with our community. Every heartbeat of the community becomes the heartbeat of each member of that community. We cannot stay indifferent to the events and happenings of the immediate community that we live in. The socially disciplined person will visit people who are grieving, people who hurt and ache. He will be there. There are some people who use the reasoning that I am very sensitive and I cannot see people suffering. I cannot see people on their deathbed or being buried. If everyone felt like this, who would bury the dead? In reality, we have a case of egotism here and selfishness, and we don't want to share in the suffering. We don't want to take part in the pain and grief of our immediate community. It is a basic element of the correct community spirit to visit the hospitals, to visit the orphans, to visit the elderly, the incarcerated, to wish to share in the grief and pain of our community. Generally speaking, the socially conscious person cares for his community. If there's a fire on the opposite side of the city, he's concerned. He doesn't go to sleep thinking, who cares, being that this is not happening next to my home. You can't say this because your house could be next in another day, another week. We cannot be indifferent in community disasters such as earthquakes, floods, snow blizzards, hurricanes. We cannot have the attitude that I am lucky because nothing happened to me. In the early years of Christianity, there was a great epidemic, some form of the plague, in the city of Alexandria, highly contagious. The sick were put out in the street to safeguard those in the home who were still well. Many people took off to the countryside to save their carcasses, abandoning their family members behind. The streets of Alexandria became a hospital. The Christians stayed behind and took care and served the sick who were abandoned by the families of the idolaters. In the biography of Saint Vincent, or Vikendi, the author gives an account of a certain epidemic in the West. He visited a village where the villagers boarded up their doors and windows to sterilize their homes. We know, of course, today that a virus cannot be kept out by this method. So this author was greeted with stones to be forced to leave. They started throwing stones at him so he would take off, thinking that he could also be contaminated. He could be a carrier of this disease. There was a widow who was the sexton of the church, and she died. She died in a bell tower, in a room downstairs where she lived with her little boy. When she died, they ran and nailed the door shut, with the little boy alive inside. The boy was alive and well, healthy. Isn't this a terrible antisocial behavior and barbaric action of Christians? God forbid. So social refinement along with politeness are some phases of the men of discipline. We must also mention that a properly cultured person will have strong interest in the commonwealth of his environment, the city, the state, the country, the entire planet. We cannot stay indifferent in the destruction of the ozone layer, or in the pollution of our streams and lakes. All these things are of interest to us. We live here in Pennsylvania. We cannot stay indifferent about the forest fire in Ohio or California or Colorado, or the oil spill in Alaska. The culture man is sensitive to his ecological environment. We must maintain our beaches, our lakes, our mountains, and campgrounds clean and as natural as possible. Most of our parks have waste containers, and we ought to use them. In the absence of them, we carry a plastic bag with us and we clean up. Everywhere we happen to be, this is the proper action of the socially disciplined person. We also have to be very careful not to become involuntary arsonists from one mistake to see an entire forest go up in smoke. Trees and animals and insects, an entire community to burn down in a few days, thousands of acres. If we are refined people, our hearts will burn. We will feel sick when we see the trees and the small animals die from the destructive force of a fire. Fire out of control. And it is out of control because of a person's lack of discipline and carelessness. Saint Isaac the Syrian talks about the burning heart. When a man loves God so much, he also loves all God's creation, the plants, the animals, the birds. And this man grieves, his heart burns in the case of a natural disaster. His eyes water when the natural environment is suffering. In the blizzard of 1996, did we care about the birds that came around our windows? Did we make an attempt to feed them? Since all their food was covered by 2 feet of snow, at least in the Northeast. Or did we take advantage of this opportunity to use our BB guns? This is horrible. This is an action of a primitive person, a troglodyte, and not a refined Christian person. Yes, the primitive men had to hunt to exist, to kill for food. The culture men of today does not go hunting and does not enjoy using guns. It takes a great deal of callousness to wait 2-3 hours on a tree to make sport of killing a deer. No, the culture man is a friend of the animals. We have stories of monastics who had in your company birds, lions, hyenas, foxes. The animals sensed their holiness and befriended them. Father Paisios used to walk around Holy Mountain doctoring the plants and small trees. He would mend broken branches of the small pine trees that were damaged from the carelessness of the pilgrims. As we can see, people that love Christ very much cannot help also love His creation. The entire creation, from the dinosaur to the ant. Species have become extinct, and some of the animals are bothersome to us because of our sin. The mosquito that we kill in the summer, the scorpions, the flies, they turn against us because we turn against God, against the Creator. After the fall, nature lost its balance. There was perfect harmony before the fall. So as educated, cultured Christians, we will respect all animals, birds, and reptiles. Only a harsh person, a primitive person, will get enjoyment by being cruel to the animals. I believe much has been done to avoid this sort of thing in this country. Even though there are still a great number of abuses, we often hear of cockfights or pit bull fights when people will pay money to enjoy seeing an animal kill its opponent. These are highly illegal practices and punishable by law. Several months ago, in our nearby city of Bethlehem, a senior citizen, army veteran, was fishing at the town creek, and he fished up a dead iguana. This older gentleman started making up fish stories and boasting how he caught this iguana, and he even landed a spot in the Morning Call, our local newspaper, the very thing that almost landed him in jail. The environmental groups came down on him so hard, and the letters to the editor were lashing him for days to come. He finally confessed that he made up a bunch of lies. The iguana was dead and floating downstream. He was finally left off the hook. When the real owners of the iguana came forth to claim their pet, which they buried at the bank of the creek for sentimental reasons. I believe this is somewhat extreme, and I don't agree with the missionary agenda of some of these animal groups who will protect the rights of the animals while ignoring the well-being of starving children and needy people. Recently, pet owners are buying health insurance for their pets, while 25 million Americans have no coverage whatsoever. We will generally love animals, love everything alive. We will water our plants, feed our house pets. They are depending on us. In the old country, they used to say that man is the god of the animals. He's their master. The Spirit of God has provided us with scriptural instruction in Deuteronomy and other books about animal care. In the Wisdom of Solomon, in the 11th chapter, we read, "For you love all things that exist, and loathe for none of these things which you have made. You would not create anything if you hated it. You spare all things, for they are yours, O Lord, lover of the living." God loves everything that has breath. Not only that, but in the book of Job, we see that God knows all the stars of the universe by name. Tell me how many stars are out there. Did science figure out this yet? We are constantly discovering new galaxies, more stars, and every year we go farther and farther into the universe. The scriptures say that all these things are named and certainly known by God. You spare all things, for they are all yours, O Master, lover of the living beings. In the sixth chapter of Proverbs, we find, when the Father was creating, I, the wisdom, was right there with Him, co-creating, and I was rejoicing. This wisdom is the second person of the Holy Trinity. Christ, before His incarnation, I was rejoicing, especially at the creation of people. Says God the Word. Truly, how much joy must God the Word felt when He was creating the first lamb, the first deer, the first bunny rabbit, to see them hop around, the little chipmunks,